reading from John. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Grab a cup of coffee, relax a little bit. Choir, there's donuts in case you're hungry. Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. This gospel lesson about vines and pruning creates a kind of difficult imagery for modern society. Unless you are familiar with the agrarian nature of viticulture, unless you understand how it works, then really the imagery is a little bit lost on us. This idea that in viticulture each year these wonderful, deep-rooted vines stretch out for feet. And when they have borne their fruit, at the end of every season, all of that growth, the leaves, the vines, all of that is pruned back. If you leave the dead branches, you invite disease and fungus, and next year's crop will be very little. I remember on a wine tour in Napa Valley, one of the vineyard workers was talking about the process of making wine. And I've talked about this once before, but he threw us some grapes up to the crowd for us to taste that they had just harvested. And I popped one in my mouth and just about had to spit it out. It's not like a table grape. It is all sugar. But when asked, what's the most important thing that you do? He replied, it isn't this. It isn't the harvest. It isn't the pressing. The most important and critical part of viticulture that I do is prune the vines. Because what I do at the end of the season makes all the difference at the beginning of the season. So I've asked Marcus to use a couple of pictures during my sermon here, and we have a photograph of some vines, and one is rich and verdant and green, and it happens to be over in the vicar's garden, and that vine is, I think, cucumbers, right? So that vine is coming down, and the cucumbers are coming down, and we can see what is meant by life in that. Just on the other side of that same planter is another vine. And you can see the straggly brown leaves struggling to survive. I suspect there will be a pruning so that the rest of the vine can live. So interestingly, apparently, for some part of our history, this particular imagery, this viticulture imagery, was sort of changed around. And for a while, the church taught that the church was the vine, the main thing, and all of you were the branches. Well, I didn't know about that because I didn't grow up in that church. But in one of the commentaries that I read, they said how dangerous that becomes when the church sees itself as that in which we abide. We mistake the trunk of the tree as something that it is not. As one of my colleagues said, we are the branches, we sit on the branches thinking that we're the trunk. But we're not. We're just the branch. And we cannot live without the trunk, without the vine that Jesus says is himself, that Jesus says is God. It's an important point, because when we think too much of ourselves at the church, as the church, we begin to get into trouble. I love the story of the Ethiopian eunuch who hears about Jesus from Philip, rides along in the chariot, just devouring scripture. And as they come upon some water, the Ethiopian eunuch says to Philip, "Here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" Well, after 30 years in the church as a pastor, I began to draw up the list. Well, where's your application for baptism? Have you done pre-baptismal counseling? Have you yet gone through all of the things that you need to do to prove yourself ready to be baptized? We have a process. We think we are the trunk. It's a rhetorical question in Acts. What is to prevent me from being baptized? The answer is, of course, nothing. Nothing. And so he is baptized. Water is poured and words are spoken. And though there is no pre-baptismal counseling, no paperwork, no approval by the church council, no proper ritual, no words said in a certain way, the Spirit pours itself out on the eunuch, this unlikely character, and his life begins anew. We must be careful to remember who is the vine and who is the branch. It might be that a less agrarian and more modern way to think about this story of Jesus is to think about it in terms of electric lines. When we lived in Texas, we would drive across these vast empty spots of which there was nothing but transmission lines, taking electricity produced in southern Texas and sending it to where it was needed in northern Texas. We see them all over the place. And those all come from a main trunk. The energy is produced there and then spread out all over the world. What if that was more our image for what it means to abide in God? The God, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, Spirit, energy, is the source for our true life. Then the role of the church, the role of Christians, is not to become gatekeepers, to sort of be the switch that we can turn off and on and decide who's in and who's out. But rather, we are the ones through whom the energy of God's love and grace is delivered to a hungry world. It's a different role. It's a different work. we become the conduits through which God's message of justice and peace and love is delivered to a world that needs to hear it. We are not the arbitrators of it, simply the ones through whom it flows. And when it flows through us, as it says in 1 John, then we know. We know what it means to be disciples. We know what it means to know love. Yes, there will be pruning. Sometimes the transmission lines don't work. Sometimes they're just in the wrong place. And so you shut them down and you create new ones. We are beginning to see that process again as the church reforms itself post-COVID into something that we have never seen before, that as God's people discover anew what it means to abide in Christ. Much to our surprise, we can be the church together, even when we are not physically together. Maybe that is the beginning of what it means for us to be the conduits of God's grace in a new way. It will not be easy. There will be pruning to come. And we will need to think about what are the things that need to be pruned from us that we might be better vines, better conduits for God's grace. It might be that we need to spend some time thinking about what to prune away, our desire for wealth and security, dominance and power. We might need to begin to prune away. I certainly have found this for myself. Prune away the ways that we have held sacred within our faith and our practice to make room for the leaves that are sprouting, so that we can become the transmission lines for the gospel of justice and peace and love. Conduits for God's unending grace. I'm not sure that it is, as some have said, that we need to start all over. One of my favorite lines from the last few years has been defund the ELCA. Or deoccupy the ELCA, all of which is a well-intentioned way of trying to get the attention of those of us who have been running the church for a long time. But I'm not sure that we need to tear down the whole enterprise of Christianity to start to find something new, but rather that the vines are pruned and moved to where they need to be, that we might be love in God's world. For me, this text is an exciting and wonderful call to think about what it means to bind and graft ourselves once again to the vine of Jesus, and to be the ones through whom the love and grace and peace that Jesus offers in his life, death, and resurrection, to be the conduits of that for a world so deeply in need of people with courage to stand for justice and equity, peace, and care for the earth. Maybe these are not the most difficult of times, but a time for the pruning of the vine, that new growth and ancient love might bear fruit. Amen. Our worship continues this morning with the hymn of the day, O Blessed Spring, ELW 447.